You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. This is the Live from the Studio J show. And as always, what we do here at 5 o'clock is we present a live performance for you. And in the studio this week, we have the May Eyes. Can you hear me, gentlemen?
Yes.
Very good. I think we have liftoff. All right, why don't we start off with a song? I see this one's going to be Mindless.
Yes, sir.
Indeed.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live in the studio, the Mayeyes. All right, if you don't mind, gentlemen, if you can go around the room, introduce yourselves, what you play, all that good stuff.
Hi, I'm Chase. I sing and I play guitar.
Hello, I'm Brody and I play the bass.
Hi, I'm Ethan and I play the drums.
Hi, my name's Turner and I play guitar.
All right. How long have you gentlemen been playing together?
I want to say about a little over a year now.
Okay. Had you played together, any of you, before that? Or?
Yeah, actually, Ethan and I, we would play a lot of like metal stuff together. I would play guitar and he'd do drums. And that's kind of like how we got this entire thing started.
When you did the metal, did you do live shows as well? Or?
No.
It was mainly just for fun, yeah.
Just messed around? Yeah. What were some of your favorites? You did covers, or?
It was kind of interesting because he grew up on like the Beatles, and I grew up on like the modern metal, which is like more modern than Metallica. Yeah, like really heavy stuff, like Meshuggah and like those bands, stuff like that. And we finally kind of found a middle ground with bands like System of a Down or like Avenged Sevenfold, those kinds of styles, and then we progressed from there into like little genres from here, like jazz and blues and stuff, but okay. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's always good to have a wide variety of influences. It makes you a better musician, don't you think?
I think so, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, if you only know, like, one style, it's just, you're never going to grow.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, why don't we do another one?
All right. Sounds good.
Cool voices. His hair tangled with prepubescent choices. Blue eyes like who cares in the Seattle noises. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. All right. In the studio, the May Eyes.
What's up? Hello.
So, we're going through the songs from your EP.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Adaptation Theory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Where did the title come from?
Me and Chase, when we were in our metal bands, we were younger, we just came up with a name. It was kind of funny and just stuck with us forever. But as we got into this lighter, more progressive kind of technical genre, we kind of kept the name because we tend to talk about, I guess, human nature. Uh-huh. And even though all our songs are a little bit on the sadder side and more about like the sad things in life, we are planning on like kind of uplifting it. And that's why we named it the Adaption Theory, is it's a way that people can adapt to the negative things in life.
Okay. Yeah, it does sound kind of on the downside, mindless, what a shame.
It's pretty deep.
False hopes. Of course, I guess father, you could go in any direction with that one, couldn't you?
Indeed. Yeah. It's still pretty sad, but.
But there's a happy ending ultimately, right?
No.
No. Oh, okay. Oh, man. Well. I actually have a degree in psychology if you want to talk about it later on.
Is this what we came here to do?
No, we came here to play music. But cool. So this is brand spanking new, right? Just came out?
Yes. Yep.
And
March 10th.
March 10th, yeah, that's pretty brand new, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then it says it was recorded by Charlie Block.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Charlie Block.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with him. Is it a friend?
We met him actually at a local show at the Crowfoot Ballroom in Michigan. Mm-hmm. He, after seeing our set, came up and was just like, you guys are amazing. He was from a band called Most Wanted. And he came up on stage and was immediately like, I want to record you guys, get you in the studio and do stuff. So we went and we did stuff in the studio and we came out with the EP.
Okay.
It was secure free studio time.
Hey, you can't beat that. All right. So there's four songs on here, and we've already heard two of them. And what was I going to ask? Oh, what would be the best way to obtain this? The different avenues, so to speak.
We are in the process of uploading all the stuff onto Spotify, Pandora, all that stuff. That way you can get your hands on it digitally. But if you want an actual CD or in the future want a CD, you can go to our Facebook page and you can hit us up from there. You can direct message us and stuff like that.
Okay. Just to clarify for our listening audience, and it's just like it sounds. It's the and then M-A-Y and then it's I. Possessive S.
Yes.
So that's
yes.
How you spell it. That's how you're going to mm-hmm. get them on Facebook. And then I would imagine once you're loaded up on those sites you just mentioned, then they'll be able to link to it or whatever. Then they'll be able to find it that way if they want, digitally, that is.
Right, right. And we'll have we have an email up on there. We have some phone numbers if you want to reach us and mm-hmm. get a tangible copy of the CD. Yeah, that's totally fine.
Any access to the other songs? Because I know you're playing more than just the EP.
Not yet. We are in the process of really just kind of finishing these songs up mm-hmm. and
moving on to an album. That's one thing where the extra yeah. songs are kind of like a teaser in a way and
okay.
working on an album.
That's the ultimate goal. Cool. All right. Let's do another one.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J. In Studio J right now is the May Eyes. All right, gentlemen. I know we touched on it just a little bit, but just to go around the room again, I know you talked a little bit about metal and all that stuff in the Beatles, but if you can go a little bit more detail, like your influences, what made you pick up the guitar, or the bass, the drums, et cetera? I can't hear him. All right, let's try this again.
I guess for me it all started, I think I was in the fourth grade when my dad got me a guitar. And he had showed me the Beatles, and he was just like, there you go. And so I kept going and going. And then Ethan and I met in elementary school. And we were friends previous to music and everything. We you know, played on the playground. It was pretty cool. It was a professional partnership there. Then we were like, hey, let's do music stuff. And he was like, what do you play? And I was just like, oh, you know, I like the Beatles and... not much else. And he was
back then anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was just like, what do you play? And he's just like, grindcore.
What a perfect combination.
I was like, uh-oh. And so then he introduced me to some other band, like System of a Down. And then I had some other friends who were listening to bands like Avenged Sevenfold, and I started getting into that. But then I guess really it took a turn. Like, in the middle of middle school, I was getting really into, like, reggae music. And I really like reggae music.
Interesting. Reggae.
Yeah. I don't think it has much influence on this, but I really like reggae music.
Yeah. You never know. It might pop in there a little bit eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe not a solid reggae song, but something with, you know, hey, I hear a little reggae there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Next.
I'm Brody. I play the bass, and most of my influences come from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and they're really what made me pick up the bass, although I've only been playing for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to play flute in middle school, but I dropped that.
With me.
I think all of us did that. You know, some weird instrument. I played the recorder, I played the violin, just all kinds.
Everyone's like required to have some kind of musical instrument proficiency.
Yeah.
I still play the flute.
But anyway, yeah, my dad, he loves the Red Hot Chili Peppers, so I hear them all the time, and I really got into them pretty recently, actually, despite hearing them my whole life. And yeah, I was like, Dad, I want to play the bass, and he's in a band, and he got his bassist to lend me a bass for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And after that week, I was like, yeah, I want to do this. So my aunt actually bought me a bass. Very nice of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, ever since I've been practicing and playing, and a year later I got together with these guys.
Okay. Did you ever get to see Red Hot Chili Peppers live?
Yet, no, not yet, but I'm hoping to sometime soon. I know they're coming back here in the summertime.
Ah, yeah, they're a great live act. I'm a bigger fan of their older stuff than I am the newest ones.
Oh, yeah.
But Flea is an amazing bass player.
Oh yeah, for sure.
One of the times I saw him, he did an acapella version of "Needle and the Damage Done," the Neil Young song.
Oh man!
He was on the stage by himself, and that was back in the wild days. All he was wearing was the bass guitar.
Oh yeah.
But still, an amazing song that he did there. It was killer.
Oh yeah, I bet.
All right, next.
Well, my name's Turner. I play guitar, and I don't know. I've been playing guitar for about 12, 13 years now. But
wow, you were little then.
Yeah, I was like 4 or 5. But I don't know. I started off playing a lot of classic rock and metal, but I guess like my two biggest influences would be Metallica and One Direction. So,
whoa.
I mean, if I have a broad spectrum.
It seems like all of you do so far. It's like, wow.
I didn't even get into half.
Oh, man. I mean, we're going from the Beatles to Cannibal Corpse, and now we're going from Metallica to One Direction. That is pretty wide.
All right, and I'm Ethan, and it kind of started when I was really little. My dad had an album of CDs that he would never let me touch, and I was always so mad that I couldn't never get my hands on the CDs. And one day I snuck it up to my room, and I opened it, and it had Meshuggah, Bloodbath, Cannibal Corpse, all the really heavy stuff. And I just put it in, and I had a nightmare that night because it was creepy. But after about a year,
you got used to it.
Yeah, I got really used to it, and it ended up becoming my favorite thing. And he caught me one day and was just like, "Do you actually really like this?" And I was like, "I do." So he started buying me metal albums from then on. We'd both go out and buy them, and he was always a drummer from a young age. So naturally, I gravitated towards them, but I actually for a long time played piano and violin, and I actually always wanted to be a singer. But when I was about 12 or 13, one of my favorite metal bands got a specific drummer, and for some reason, I just gravitated towards his persona in a way so much that it actually caused me to change the drums. I got my first kit, my first actual kit, which I'm using now, around 12 or 13, end of eighth grade, and I've just been banging on them ever since. I haven't stopped, and then now my metal has turned into like rock and jazz, a lot of jazz for me because it helps really develop the technique, but that's what it's come to really.
So what group was that you said you're that got you to switch over to the drums?
It was a Canadian metalcore band called Threat Signal. They were their first two albums were pretty big, but their third album was they got super heavy and stuff like that, and they got a drummer named Alex Rudinger, and for some reason, the way he played, how he set up his kit, everything just caught me by surprise. And he was so fast, so technical, so clean, so all over the place, and it took my breath out of my lungs, and I couldn't help it. I had to play drums after that point. It was just something I had to do. I still watch his videos to this day.
That's cool. All right. Okay. Let's get another song. I insist.
Last night I kept waking up in a cold sweat, dreaming about the times we used to spend, dreaming about the things we did, dreaming about the things we could do.
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is live from Studio J. And in the studio, we have the May Eyes.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hello.
We thought we'd get your manager on. Maybe he can talk a little bit, give us a different perspective. Oh no.
Please, he's my dad. This is not good.
Now, you're not the one that wrote Father, are you?
No, I am.
No. Yeah. Thank God, no.
Okay, so it's all going to be good. There's not going to be any fights, right?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, darn. No, I'm kind of all their dads to a degree. I watch over them when they're, they're in my care. But, I became the manager thanks to Turner. So you heard the story about Charlie Block recording us. I do want to give a few shout-outs before I go on and say thank you to Charlie Block. He did a great job on the EP. I also want to thank Paul Cobb from Smash Productions. He's our man. He's really hooked us up with a lot of good concerts, a lot of good promotional items. So we thank you, Paul, if you're listening. To the podcast or live. Yeah, we all love you, Paul. We also wanted to thank the parents of the band and all the stuff they put up with to have the kids, drive everywhere they need to go and sell tickets and everything else.
Love you, Mom and Dad.
There you go. Good boy. But really, this has been an adventure, and these kids are solid. They're good. They work hard. At what they do. They have a craft, and I can't say enough good things about them, but, I'm kind of biased because my son's a drummer, so.
Yeah, it does make a difference. Yeah. How did you meet Paul?
Well, I met Paul at one of the shows. I think it was the first Token Lounge show, and it was almost an instant thing where, two like-minded people came together and, there was a common interest. He had never heard the band before. He had only heard of them. And after the show, we got to talking. And then every time we saw each other at every show that Paul put on and invited the boys back to, we started talking more. So, that's what kind of led us here, right?
Okay. I always wondered about that because Paul does send bands on a regular basis to us here at the studio. So I always know I don't really have to listen to the bands ahead of time because he never lets me down, put it that way. If he says I'd like to get this band on, I'm like, as long as I got the date available, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, he has a good ear.
Yeah,
and again, I'm biased, but he has a good ear. So,
no, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah, like I said, he hasn't disappointed yet. So.
Yeah. So we're just looking forward to hunkering down. I mean, the next thing that we're focusing on is after this, the boys are going to spend the next couple months with finals coming up and high school graduations and everything else, focusing on building the album. So. The album should be out hopefully by midsummer. We're hoping. The guys have all the songs on the playlist here, which are three in addition to the four that are on the EP. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple more in the works. So they're just a few shy of an album. So they're going to go back into my basement, I guess, and try and put all that together. So,
is Charlie going to help you with that too, or?
Yeah, probably. We're going to talk to him about it. And I know he's a busy guy. Mm-hmm. He's always got different bands in his studio recording. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a genre Charlie hasn't recorded, so.
Okay, well, just quick information about him then. Does he work out of his home or does he actually have an office or studio, official studio? Or?
Yeah, he has a studio in his house. It's very unassuming, but, mm-hmm. At least, the house part is. But, I mean, the guy is a genius. He's
right, and he obviously has all the equipment necessary to do.
Oh, absolutely. He has board on top of board on top of board. And I can't say, the guy doesn't have the guy has more guitars than I think I've seen at guitar center even, so.
Ah, another Rick Nielsen.
Yeah, 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 he's a collector.
Cool. Yeah, I always drool at things like that. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah, it's impressive. It's impressive.
Yeah.
And he's got a good ear too on top of it, so.
If I ever got filthy rich, that would be what I would probably do. I don't care yeah. about sports cars and fancy mansions and all that, but yeah, I just filled my house with guitars.
So just a little history on Charlie, because most of the time when I speak to people about Charlie, they don't realize who Charlie Block is. Mm-hmm. But if you remember a band back in the day, Mariner?
Yes.
That was Charlie's band.
Oh,
so
okay.
Charlie's been around the world, you know.
A few
touring
times.
Yeah, a few times.
Yeah.
Touring with his band, Mariner, and now he's now he's in his own little world doing his own thing. So
he's still doing music.
Yeah,
that's all
still matters. Doing music. Yep.
And with all his guitars, he must play sometime.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he plays all the time. I mean, yeah. His band's constantly. I mean, his band played with us at the Crowfoot when he approached us and said, "Hey, I'd really like to record you guys. You guys have a unique sound, and you don't sound like anyone else I've heard in a long time." So
right. Cool. That was kismet right there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it was meant to be.
Yeah. What name does he go under now? Obviously not Mariner, right?
No. His band is called Most Wanted.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. I thought that was a band that was like in the past tense.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, no, no. That's the name of the new
one. Okay. The new one's Most Wanted. We've played with them a couple times. They invited us to the Foundry. They had a band back out and
okay.
In Jackson. So we picked up within 24 hours and kids and all and equipment and went out to the Foundry and played a show.
Excellent.
So that was something else.
Okay. Well, I'll have to look out for him too. Yeah, Mariner, that goes back a long ways.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It goes back a ways. I remember listening to them when I was a kid on the radio. So
yeah, and you know, that had to be at least, 10 years ago, right?
Thanks. I'm not buying you dinner.
A beer. Yeah, yeah. All right, gentlemen, let's do another song.
This song is called Fish. It's about fish. Very
You're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J with the May Eyes. What's up? Huh?
Okay. Hello.
You got to speak up now. Anyway, I want to find out more about these songs. Your manager was telling me, you know, that it was put together with a reason. I mean, not just putting four songs on an EP, but there's something in, you know, how they all connect in some way. Like, what is Mindless about? Where did that come from?
Mindless essentially is, I wrote it to, I've never been asked this question.
That's all right. You'll get it good. Okay this time. And then the next time you're asked, you'll have it.
I'll have it. No, I mean, essentially Mindless, I wrote it as a kind of my thoughts on certain things that constrict people in society, like fear. It's very contradicting in the fact that I call out things like government and religion, mm-hmm. and implying that I'm not afraid of a mindless slave, meaning the only people, these ideas aren't holding you back, but the people following them are, in a sense.
Okay. So that's where that came from.
Yeah.
And what about What a Shame?
What a Shame has, basically it's about betrayal, essentially. I have a really long personal story, but essentially it's about someone who basically gives up a friendship for their own safety, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Abandonment, you know, friends, people using you. It's what that song is mainly about.
Okay. So you're the main songwriter then, I take it?
Lyric-wise, yeah.
Lyric-wise, okay. Sure. And then they kind of step in and put it all together.
I'm just like, hey, here's this.
Sort of, yeah.
And then they're just all like, just come together, let's do this. And,
you know, make beats. Bring like an amalgam of ideas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll ask you about the other two in a little bit. But now the one that we just heard, of course, was called Clean.
Nope.
No? Oh, we're going out of order then, huh?
It's called Fish.
Oh, so you haven't done Clean yet, then?
Nope, that's next.
Ah, okay. Yeah, see, I have the list this way, so you kind of...
Uh-oh.
It's okay. It's no big deal.
We got to find that guy. He wrote it wrong.
Jeffrey!
You're fired. Nah, you can't fire him, right?
No.
Sadly.
All right, but either way, though, Clean and Fish are the new ones, and that's what's going to ultimately end up on the new full length?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All righty. Well, why don't we hear that now? So this is going to be Clean. Okay.
Songs over and over again, hoping that you'll listen to them with me. So what if it's all my fault? So sick and tired of living with these insults. So what if it's all my fault? Thank you.
The one song that happens every show, that abrupt ending that catches me off guard.
Oh, you know.
I'm not making this up. There's always one song every show where the band does that. All of a sudden, boop, and I'm like, ah. And I got to scream.
We were trying to be like interesting.
Yeah, we were just trying to be.
Oh, no, ruin this band for me now. Thanks,
nah,
man.
There's nothing wrong with. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just lamenting. It's like I always get caught off guard with that one song every week.
Well, there it is.
Scramble to the microphone. Anyway, you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, live from Studio J. The May Eyes are in the studio doing a live performance for you. Do you guys have any upcoming shows at all?
Not as of right now, no. We
no?
are going to take a break, I think, work on the album.
Okay. And your manager was saying, of course, there's school things to take care of between now and then.
Yeah. Three of us have to graduate.
I'm just going to Disney World.
Oh, my God.
While they suffer, huh?
I'm going to have a vacation.
Okay. In case people weren't listening toward the beginning of the hour, let's you tell them about the new EP and how to get it and your information.
We're the May Eyes. We have an EP, the Adaptation Theory. We have CDs. You can purchase them from us if you go on to Facebook, look us up, Instagram, Twitter. We're everywhere. My house. You can come to my house personally.
And that address is blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, there will be, phone numbers, emails. You can hit us up, and we'll figure out from there. And we hopefully hope to have the EP up, on Spotify, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, and everything, hopefully soon. So mm-hmm. We'll, if you like us on Facebook now, you'll see when they're up.
Okay.
So then you can check it out.
All right. And just to clarify, the spelling, of course.
The, May as in the month, and I possessive S.
Okay. That way they get it, because Facebook is really, I don't know, if you don't spell it the exact way, it's like
not going to come up.
You're getting nowhere, They don't have a smart search engine, Yeah. You would think as big as they were and as much money as they have, they could do that, but no. Anyway. All right, let's talk about the third one then. That would be False Hopes.
Yes. False Hopes is about my crippling depression.
Ah.
That's me putting it lightly.
Oh.
Well, you remember about my degree, so.
Yeah, no, False Hopes is definitely just kind of like, why try when this happens?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very sad. But then the chorus, we're going to be okay, is just always, I always
it's
tend
like that overcoming note. Like,
yeah.
Even though all this world gives you that, it's kind of like push through.
It's crappy, but at the end of the day, you always got to think, it's I.
As Bob Ross put it, you need the bad times so you know when the good times come.
There you go.
That's a good point. I remember that one. Yeah, definitely. How would you know if your life was good if it was always good?
Exactly.
It'd be nice if it was, but
that's a good one.
Indeed.
No one's getting that. I don't care who you are or how much money you have. Seriously. But all right, which brings us to the final song. If you could talk a little bit about Father.
Father is probably my most emotional song.
Personal?
That I've written so far.
All right. What you feel comfortable saying.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. No. I'm just saying words at this point.
Okay.
Coming from my metal background, metal a lot lately has been talking about a lot of social issues that seem to be either glossed over or forgotten in today's like media, which is mental illness, child trafficking, child abuse, drug abuse, that kind of epidemics in our social society that seem to get glossed over fairly often. And so I kind of brought Chase that children are abused every day. It's an alarming number, an alarming rate that it happens.
Right.
And so from there, he kind of took it and I guess broadened it and the same way and added some of his own opinion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely, coming from the background with my birth mother and father that I did, I saw a lot. And so this song is kind of just a monologue, I guess, of what I've thought throughout, you know, life. And it's also definitely doubting father as in a literal sense, my dad, and then father as in God himself.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Okay. Well.
It's also really upbeat.
Upbeat? Okay.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Hey, you turned it into something good. That's great.
Yeah, it's a really good song, I think.
Okay. So I think that should be just about right. I thank you, gentlemen, again for coming down and playing for us.
We thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
It really means so much more than, you know, it means so much.
My pleasure. Okay. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the May Eyes.
Spend your time at the bottom of a bar.
WHFR Dearborn.
Goes for away to the queen. She says, I'm going up.